Mentaka and Merikara spent much of the journey back to Avaris huddled together in the screened litter, whispering as they planned their escape. They soon discarded the notion of seizing one of the chariots from their escort and riding away with it. In the unlikely event that they were able to trick or overpower one of the charioteers, they knew that within an hour they would have the entire army of Egypt on their heels, led by a wrathful pharaoh. Gradually, a better plan emerged from their deliberations. Mintaka's first endeavour was to make herself agreeable to Zuga, their guardian and jailer, and to impress him with her submissive resignation to his authority. By the time they reached the palace in Avaris 4 days later, she had completely gulled him, believing only the best of her gentle, innocent nature. There, in the most pretty and convincing manner, she appealed to Zuga to allow her and Merikara to visit the temple of Hathor, to pray for the safety of Nefer and his victory in the looming battle. With some misgivings, Zuga acquiesced, and the two women were able to spend almost an hour alone with the high priest in the sanctuary of the temple. Zuga waited anxiously at the door, for no man, not even a eunuch, was allowed to enter the sanctum. Great was Zuga's relief, and all his suspicions set at rest, when Mintaka and Merikara at last re-emerged, both as beautiful, demure, and innocent as any of the temple virgins. A few days later, when they asked to be allowed to pray again in the temple, and to make sacrifice to the goddess, Zuga was amenable to their request, and waddled beside their litter, chatting blithely through the curtain and relating to the princesses the most juicy items of scandal in the life of the palace. Once again, the high priestess was waiting in the forecourt of the temple to greet Mintaka and Merikara and lead them into the sanctum. Without misgivings, Zuga settled down to await the return of the lovely royal pair. The high priestess sent out two of her acolytes to serve him an overflowing platter of grilled chicken and fish, together with a large jar of excellent wine. Zuga ate it all, and polished off the contents of the jug, then fell asleep in the shadow of the cow effigy of the goddess. When he awoke, the sun had set, and he was alone. He saw that the litter-bearers had gone. He heaved his vast bulk upright, and experienced twinges in his belly that were caused not by dyspepsia, but by a pressing sense of alarm. He shouted for attention and beat on the temple door with his staff. It was a long time before a priestess came to him with a message. The two princesses have pleaded for sanctuary within the temple. The Holy Mother has granted their plea and taken them under her protection. Zuga was thrown into turmoil. The sanctuary of the temple was inviolate. He could not demand the return of his charges, not even under the authority of Pharaoh. The only course open to him was to return to Ismailia and confess his favour, but that was risky. The young pharaoh had not yet revealed his true nature, and his rage might well be fatal.